It was a terrible moment in the nation's political life, a time of shock and despair. In almost an instant, the old order passed away, and a dreaded new leader came onto the scene. Full of bragging and bluster, this new leader lied about his resume. He viciously attacked and denounced the old administration. He called himself a reformer. The people called him a despot. This new leader twisted the army to serve his new purposes. He readily deported people who were threatened, who threatened his power. The days were bleak and dreary. Winners gloated and losers wept. This awful new leader was the most important person in the world in his time. Almost none of us know him today. His name was Tiglath-Pileser III. You see, bullies, despots, and brutes are nothing new to 2016. Political upheaval is not new to our day and time. Tiglath-Pileser III was the king of Assyria. Interestingly, the few surviving depictions of him show him wearing a strange hat, of all things. He ruled from 745 to 727 BC, and even though he is not mentioned by name, Tiglath-Pileser III was the frightening and animating force in the scripture passage that Trey led us in reading. The passage began in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was the king of Judah, one of the small Jewish nations that hugged the edge of the Dead Sea 27 years ago. King Uzziah, by all accounts, was a good and beloved king who led his nation for more than 50 years. His reign was a time of prosperity and harmony. And then the day came that King Uzziah died. Or it was the day that Abraham Lincoln died on a borrowed bed in a boarding house. Or the day that planes descended on Pearl Harbor. Or the day that Martin was shot on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. Or September 11th, 2001. Or it was the day the election you never imagined took a turn you couldn't fathom. When King Uzziah died, the nation of Judah, before too long, fell prey to the power of Tiglath-Pileser III of Assyria. The day that King Uzziah died marked the descent into Judah's dependence upon the brutal power of Assyria. Foundations shook. Markets tumbled. The familiar fell apart. And in the middle of that, in the middle of that turmoil and uncertainty, there came a call from God. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And to that call, there came a response. Here I am, send me. That is the response of Isaiah. We know very little about Isaiah. Scholars guess that he was a palace insider who began to preach against a government that took the easy path and sided with a bully. The book of Isaiah itself is probably three books, and scholars say that Jewish tradition lumped together the life of three or four prophets to give us one Isaiah. Even so, what our faith tradition says is that at a moment in time, when things seemed as bleak as they had ever been, the call of God rang out. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And at that moment in time, a faithful voice spoke up to say, here I am. Send me. Listen to some of Isaiah's other words. People of God, let us walk in the light. You who write bad laws and oppressive statutes, you who turn away the needy from justice, you who make orphans and widows suffer, to whom will you go when God is angry? Let the fugitives stay with you. Shelter them. Is this not the fast that God chooses, to loose the bonds of injustice and to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? God loves justice, Isaiah continued. God hates robbery and wrongdoing. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and God will take away from the earth all the disgrace of God's people. With power and with poetry, Isaiah spoke truth and hope to the people of his day. Isaiah spoke of loving God and caring for the stranger and feeding the hungry and working for justice and striving for peace and comforting the distraught. When Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me," that was no empty phrase. His words were grounded in a life-giving, hard-working, people-embracing, God-loving faith. That is the voice of Isaiah. And friends, that is our call. Westmoreland Church was founded in 1886 in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood. The early church members were abolitionists who had come to their nation's capital to do their best to see that the policies of a fair and inclusive reconstruction after the Civil War were works of liberty and justice for African Americans. The church worshiped on through the Spanish-American War and the assassination of President McKinley. The church sang hymns of peace as World War I raged. This church. The church cheered when women finally entered the polling places in 1920. This congregation, I think, really found its voice during the Great Depression, the darkest experience this nation has faced, perhaps. This congregation found its voice by creating a social service agency for their friends and neighbors to provide medical and social and psychiatric care for people in despair. The church prayed its way through the blight of Jim Crow and the devastation of World War II. As the civil rights movement shined a light on segregation, the church found a new voice in calling for and in doing the work to provide fair and affordable housing for all people. With diligence and with grace, this congregation blessed and affirmed the dignity and rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people as beloved sisters and brothers, and this church worked hard to secure the right for people to marry the person they love. For 120 years, the people of Westmoreland Congregational United Church of Christ have, with Isaiah, said, "Here I am. Send me." For 120 years, the people of this church have stood firmly on the foundation of the love and grace of Jesus to bring joy to little children and high ideals to youth. For 120 years, the people of this church have worked to bring inspiration to all in the middle of life and comfort to those in need. For 120 years, we have labored together for the betterment of humankind. For 120 years, we have rallied around our common passion to serve the world and to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. For 120 years, you, the people of this place, have held forth the ideal of a church of the open mind, the warm heart, the aspiring soul, and the social vision. For 120 years, we have sought to express in all the ways of life the mind and spirit of Jesus. The Tiglath-Pilesers of the world need to be put on notice that Isaiah and his descendants are alive and well. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God asks of us on this day. And with the faithful of the ages, we must respond, "Here I am. Send me." Now is our time to respond. This is our moment to love God, to welcome the stranger, to care for those in need, to work for justice, to strive for peace, and to comfort the grieved. Our call is clear. Our task is great. Our purpose is just. Let us go forth. Let us not live in fear. Let us respond, and let us march on and on and on. Let us respond. Amen.